like to thank you for attending session 338, titled Anonymity and the Mormon Searcher. Before we begin, we would ask that cell phones are turned off and that those attending will be respectful and attentive. It is the mission of Sunstone to host thoughtful and respectful dialogue. Please keep that in mind when engaging in the question and answer portion of this session following the remarks of the presenters. Those who cannot abide by those guidelines should refrain from commenting and will be asked to leave should they become disruptive. This session is being recorded, and you will be able to purchase it after the presentation ends at the registration desk on the main floor. Take advantage of our symposium special by subscribing to Sunstone Magazine, 7 issues for the price of 6, at the registration desk as well. Consider also purchasing Skull Candy official headphones customized just for Sunstone. Your support goes directly to keeping symposiums and 40 years of thoughtful dialogue alive and sustainable. Don't forget to check out the bookstore in the ballroom hosted by Benchmark Books, considering purchasing a book or two to support Mormon studies and scholars. This session is 60 minutes long, and we ask that both audience and presenters to keep within the framework of that time so we can allow for everyone to get to lunch on time. About this session, anonymity provides the ability to protect oneself from reprisal, but it also provides trolls the ability to erode the quality and longevity of an online forum. This online community of over 40,000 subscribers flourishes with information, support, and caring while trying to protect the identities of those just starting to dare to question that go unanswered in LDS Sunday schools worldwide. Mithrin began his life on Reddit in 2009 when he rose up fully formed, mounted on a narwhal and wielding staff of historical truth. Recently publishing 2 books, The ABCs of Science and Mormonism and I Should Start a Cult. Mithrin thrives on helping answer church history questions and chocolate. VH65 works as a moderator of the Reddit/ex-Mormon subreddit to maintain a cordial environment, promote the sharing of information, provide help to those struggling emotionally, and to protect the now 45,000 subscribers from any real-life harm associated with their anonymous virtual contributes. She finds herself addicted to truth and tea, preferably Earl Grey with milk and sugar. I'm going to go ahead and pass the time over to them.
We do.
Here we go. We have volume, and we have a projector. This is better than most. All right. I think on the schedule I start off with the history, and then we go from there.
Yes, we do. We explain what Reddit is, and I don't know how many of you are actually Redditors, or you've been on that. Okay, it's our people. Maybe later we can.
It's our crew.
Share a few usernames.
Cool. So I'm going to go into the history, because most people know what Reddit is, but not everyone knows how we got to an ex-Mormon subreddit. So we're going to touch on that for a bit. Once upon a time, in another lifetime ago, I went to a BYU alumni meeting in Houston, Texas. And the speaker came in, and it was clear he hadn't really prepared for the day. But he began talking about what he thought was going to be big in the future. He'd just come from this big venture capitalist meeting, and he said, "I think there's this thing called blue." We've killed out. There we go. I think that's going to be big someday. And he said, "I really like getting email on my phone. This BlackBerry thing. You should invest in that." Which there's a little bit of humor, but for a while that did pretty well. And he said, "I read something on Reddit this morning." And I thought, that's kind of cool. I wonder what those are. So I went back to my day job and started exploring each one of the things. So Mint.com was new about the same time, and I looked into that. I got onto Reddit, and there was this guy back then. It was only one giant aggregation of news articles. There was no subreddit. There was no multiple like ideas. It was just everyone threw everything at the wall, and it was just a newspaper that kind of collected headlines itself. And there was this guy who was posting the internal bank memos of the Royal Bank of Scotland. And the memos read something along the lines of, in order to facilitate the Vatican's trip to Brazil, we are going to drop the price of gold by 2% on September 8th. And I'm like, ha, 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 that's so funny. And then it happened over and over and over. And I actually – the down payment on the three-story house that I had came from following his investment advice. I just kind of bought when he said to buy and sold when he said to sell. I now have a little bit of a conspiracy theory theorist mind because they actually did that. But following along with that, Measure 76, as soon as subreddits came out, he went and snatched the ex-Mormon subreddit. Just a second. I think we've got an image. One, two, there we go. Back on 6/16 of 2009, and at the time I was a very believing member, just had some questions, and I started to post my internal notes. I had spent 3 years at Continental Airlines. Everyone has two jobs when you work at an airline, and they sell Tupperware, they sell jewelry. I made my second job because I was living with my in-laws. Researching the church. I had some questions that I needed answered, and I just started to post my notes on the ex-Mormon, the Mormon, and the LDS subreddits. And on the LDS subreddits, they all said I was an ex-Mormon and I should get out of there, and I'm like, no, I'm not. And on the Mormon subreddit, no one commented or did anything because it's a neutral ground, and we all know once you join the church, you leave neutral ground forever, right? Joseph Smith quote. And then on the ex-Mormon subreddit, people would start responding, and they had deeper insights. They'd point me places to find more information. And so I just started posting notes there, even though I was believing at the time. And then we started playing a game, and the game went like this. I said, you give the craziest thing that you think that you've ever heard in church, and I will tell you the general authority that said it, because I had this strong belief that all the crazy comes from a general authority, that we don't, the low membership does not come up with the crazy ideas. And we did that twice, and in well, I guess we did it three times, but in the first two times, there was only one item that
did not come from a, oh, come on.
Straight it out with this one here.
All right. One, two, three, swap. And again, one item that did not come from a general authority. All the rest of the crazy was definitely sourceable and findable. And from that kind of came the whole Mithrin knows church history thing, and the subreddit kind of got started. Major 76 had just a couple of simple rules: no personal attacks. He hated ad hominem. And one day, about 2011, I think, they made me a mod without me knowing it. They just, pow, you're a mod. They'd asked if I wanted to be one several times before that, and I was like, no. I'm just a nerd with a computer. I don't need to do anything. And they just did it. And from I was a mod for a good long while.
Yeah, actually, I think maybe my story is probably similar to a lot of yours. I actually learned an awfully lot from Mithrin, and I have no doubt that he really does know all the ABCs of Mormonism from front to back. And I mean, good heavens. I joined in 2013. I think it's been almost 4 years. Wow, it's sad to say that you're a Reddit addict for 4 years, right? It's embarrassing. I had been an inactive member for a really long time, and I was just living in my new neighborhood where I've never really interacted with anybody from any part of the Mormon community in that neighborhood. And two guys showed up at my house, and they were really nice, and they asked if they could come back. And I was like, oh no, I'm going to have these really nice people show up. They'll be visiting teachers, you know, and like home teachers, and I'll feel like I should invite them in, and then it'll just be awkward, and they really should be home playing with their kids. instead of working on me. And I just really, I was like, okay, I got to do something with this. Do I really have to resign? Because I don't really want to, but I just don't want these people to be burdened with feeling they have to save me. So I went on, I just type into Google, how to resign from the LDS Church, and what popped up was Reddit. And so I opened it up, and I asked, and I chatted, and somebody said, oh, you don't need to resign. You can, like, just, you know, ask your bishop if they could maybe not contact you and not assign you anybody. I was like, oh, okay, great. And I'm just shutting it down, and I see this article, and it's like, Hans Mattson, Swedish Mormon leader interview in the New York Times. And I'm like, oh, well, you know, I have a relative serving in Sweden, and I have family living in New York. I bet they're all going to be reading this. I should read this article. Anybody who's seen that article, I mean, he gives a list of these things that are so shocking. And I looked at it and I was like, what do you mean that Book of Mormon was translated with a rock in a hat? Joseph Smith was married to other people's wives and a 14-year-old. This is not true. And, you know, and I am, my kids will tell you, but I'm addicted to my phone. They call me Dr. Internet, because anything that comes up, I'm like, you know, look it up on the phone. So I immediately whip out my phone and I spend the next half hour and I realize that nope, some of that stuff definitely might even be true. And there's a lot of stuff I don't know. So I go straight back to Reddit, to the source, and I start, like, reading people's stuff and posting questions. And Mithrin was, I think, so helpful, because he would answer a lot of that stuff. And he's, because I'm like an academic geeky person who has to see sources for everything. So when I look at that list of, really, rock and a hat? I gotta have proof of that. So I went back and was like, okay, well, I need to see three sources on everything. It's got to be original. It's got to go all the way back, you know, and neutral, or a member of the church if possible. I don't want to be just like reading crazy stuff on, you know, weird anti-Mormon sites. And so he was really helpful. And I think at the time it was a really smaller group. They had just hit 10,000 people. And on a typical night, you might get 3 or 4 new posts and maybe 40 people online. And when they hit, like, you know, 70, 80 users on the site, it was all like, oh, something went big. You know, oh, wow, this is so cool. And
when we hit 2,000, by the way, we renamed it to 2,000 Stripling Warriors.
Fun. And here, you know, as we're sitting here, guys, I just checked. We are at 49,920-ish. So probably by the end of the day, we'll hit 50K. And to be honest, when I wrote my intro for here, we had 43. And I made a mistake and said 45. And then I was like, oh, well, you know, it's only May. Maybe by July we'll have 45 and I won't be a liar. And then somebody posted a really, really popular shot of herself in a bikini on July 8th. And we added 800 people in one day, 862 people in one day. And to be honest, in this month alone, they just came out with new stats. We have had over 1 million people, or 1 million different devices, I should say, 1 million different IP addresses or phones log into the site just this month. So it has gone from, oh, you're lucky if there's 40 people around, to, what, there's almost always 1,000 people.
Yeah, 18,000.
And you can get a new post every 5 minutes, you know? Which is not good if you want to get any work done, because a lot of them are really entertaining.
18,000 uniques a day.
Yeah. But it, for me, was a really helpful thing, because first off, it helped me find the information. And second off, I was kind of upset about what I found. And it was, as you know, given that I had been inactive for such a very long time, it surprised me quite a bit what an emotional experience it was to evaluate this information and think about how I felt about that. And, you know, I mean, I ended up on, like, the Community of Christ. You know, Joseph Smith did not actually practice polygamy. Like, all these weird sites, I mean, from all different Mormon groups, not mainstream LDS, but all kinds of stuff. And it was very nice to have people that I could come back and say, hey, has anybody else seen this one? What do you think about it? And also, I think the day that I joined, there were two other people at least, two guys, and the three of us were like the new kids holding hands. Oh my gosh, did you know that? Did you see that stuff about interracial families from Brigham Young? Two of us were married to somebody from a different race, and both of us were like, oh, we're supposed to be killed, to be saved, and our children too? What the heck is this? I mean, it was just so nice to have somebody in the same place at the same time. And to share with that. And I think I went through, it took me about a year to where I was like, oh, hey, I'm not addicted anymore. I can actually go 48 hours without looking at Reddit and feel totally fine. When I look at the sub, I'm not like learning something new every day, at least twice a day. I think I know a lot of what's in there. And I'm pretty comfortable with where I'm at. And I was just like, well, maybe it's time for me to post that graduation sign-off post. Because that is one of the nice things about our group is that it tends to be a healing forum. And a lot of people will come in. They will spend – some of them are fast, 3 months. Some of them, 7 years. But eventually, they kind of feel better, come to terms with it, are ready to move on with their life, and they'll post a goodbye post, and we all cheer. I mean, everyone's so happy. Yay, you're cured. You know, you don't even care about it anymore. We're so thrilled for you. Move on. And I'm getting ready to post that, and I get this little email, hey, do you want to be a mod? Do I want to be a mod? And I thought, well, I got so much from these people, especially from someone like Mithrin. Okay, I can give it a year and give back what I got, and I'm just going to throw everything I have at this and try to help other people with finding information and dealing with, you know, emotional struggles as they work through this or, you know, face hard situations with their family. And I have to say, yeah, now I'm on 3 years as a mod. I was going to quit, and then we had, like, a lot of mods leave, and I had to bring Mithrin back, and then I was like, yeah, drama. So yeah, I'm still here and thinking. But I guess what's really sucked me in is being able to help other people and the way that this community pitches in. I think it's really interesting because I guess we didn't pick our topic, you know, like anonymity. I can't even say it, anonymity and yeah. The Mormon searchers. Yeah. Why is that a good thing? When they flipped our title and just assigned us that randomly without even telling us, I kind of sat and thought about it. And do you want to put up the quote from Banana Junior 6000? Because he was really nice and just wrote something that I think really fits how we all feel. But, you know, if you go on Facebook, which I don't because I'm so not even, like, internet savvy on the social media, people are bragging and you're showing the good side of yourself, right? You're like, oh, look at my cool vacation photos and don't I look pretty with my hair and here's a cool selfie and you're trying to present a really positive side of yourself. But on Reddit, because nobody knows who you are, you can ask your deepest, most scary questions to the void and get an answer back, right? And a compassionate answer back. And you can, you know, kind of let down your guard and show what you're afraid of. And that is why I think we get people posting when they're suicidal, because you know, they're trying to keep up a nice face and a nice front for the people who see them every day, but they can come out on Reddit anonymously and say, I'm hurting so much. And I know, I think just the name ex-Mormon is kind of a turnoff for a lot of people. We didn't pick the name. I mean, I didn't pick the name. I would have picked something different, but it's like a big group now. It's 50,000. We're not changing it. So, but we do have a lot of people and from all different stages in their faith journey. They can be TBM, like a true Mormon, totally in, like Mithrin was when he started. They can be like out for a long time. A lot of people working through some anger issues, and so you get these ranting, really mad posts, and I think it's probably a turnoff for anybody who's, you know, early in their faith transition to find this F the church, like, you know. But it's people working through the stages of grief as they come to terms with realizing that things aren't exactly what they thought they were and trying to decide, well, am I comfortable in this being a different kind of Mormon, basically, in this new world. And I think the sub plays such a tremendous role because you can be anonymous. that you can do that. Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to talk about your theories about why we have our title?
Sure. So I think a little bit of why the magic of Reddit works for this particular need. It's pretty well illustrated. Once I was Elders Quorum instructor. I was Elders Quorum instructor for 7 years. I moved 3 wards, and I was Elders Quorum instructor each time. And we got to the Gospel Principles lesson number 31, and I still have it. You can listen to me give the lesson because I tape recorded it and posted it online. So if you want to experience the awkward silence of that room as Mithrin teaches about honesty, it's unique. And I give the lesson as was written, and then I say, I have some heartburn about some things. There are some things that I don't feel. I mean, there's this whole section on sins of omission and not being honest. That if you leave out details, it's the same as if you were telling a lie, and it's there in the manual. I'm like, I need to tell you some things, all right? And we run a poll. I say, how many of you think that the Book of Mormon was translated with the Urim and Thummim? And we write it up on the board. How many of you think it was done with a rock and a hat? How much of the Book of Mormon do you think was done? And I put 100% down to 0%. 2 people knew about the rock at all in that priesthood quorum. All of them had been members for over 30 years. There were no young guys there that day. And the answer is 100%. 100% was done with the rock and the hat. And I cite Fair Mormon, and I showed them that. And I'm like, I have heartburn that we have images of people translating with the plates in front of them, and that wasn't what happened. By all accounts, by all sources, by even our faithful Fair Mormon, you know, for what they're worth, websites. And then, you know, in 2015, they finally came out with it in the Ensign. But I think no one would have dared ask a question. And if you hear it, it's just crickets chirping the entire time when I ask people to, like, respond in the entire lesson. In Sunday school, you can't ask. There is a social taboo. Just recently, I was in a gathering of LDS people. I'm going to try to anonymize this as much as I can. And they had a question and answer time, and I asked a question about cell phones. It wasn't even religious. And I received emails saying, how dare you? I received people coming up after me, to me afterwards, and being like, "Let's handle all of your concerns." I will totally, because there is no ability to just ask. I heard from the guy in High Priest Quorum in the back that Joseph Smith said the Lost Ten Tribes were in the Hollow Earth. I want to know more. I couldn't ask that as a kid. There was no one to go to. There is no one in the church building of any local ward who answers questions. And so here you don't get that social taboo. You can show up and you can ask the questions and you get the answers, and then you say, oh my gosh, I didn't know that any of this was going on. And it goes from there. As to a little bit of my tao, and then I'll hand it back to you, why I am the way I am. I have a very solid feeling that this is a post-traumatic stress disorder situation. And my dad always watched war movies. And he would make us kids watch war movies over and over and over again. And I never understood it. And then I started to see the people come back with PTSD from Desert Storm and Desert Shield. So I'm still a young tyke at the time. And they also wanted to have war movies. They wanted to understand the why, to put all the pieces together. And once they did, they found peace. And it struck me that everyone – the reason we had so many World War II movies all the way to Dunkirk, which is great, by the way, if you want to go watch it, is not happy. But it is great, is that it put all the pieces together, and why their buddy died in the middle of an empty field for nothing suddenly made sense. They were part of this movement that was across from that. And so I kind of dedicated myself to answering the questions that would put people's hearts at ease. They could move on. They could see all the pieces. Why is it that we own 2% of Florida as a church? Why is it that we can't – the lessons are so boring and repetitive. That's a popular one. Lots of people ask about that. Why is it that women don't hold the priesthood? And to put the pieces together, and we see these people over and over again move on. And I have a little signature line I always say when people move on, just happy trails, you know. You can always come back. You're welcome. But I totally understand, and you're done. You don't have to worry about it anymore. I'm not there yet.
Soon, Mithrin. Someday, right? Someday. And it's so fascinating. You know, like, I remember years ago, my family, they all took a trip to Nauvoo, and they're like, Cynthia, do you want to come? I'm like, no, are you kidding? How boring would that be? And now I'm like, anybody want to go to Nauvoo? Because I totally want to see the house where this happened, and can we, like, find out where Helen Mar Kimball lived? And you know that room upstairs, above the store where they did the original endowment stuff, and where, you know, Sarah and Whitney got married, and I want to see all that. It's so fascinating, the real Mormon history. Like, honestly, if they would teach that, I would go back to church. Dana Mithrin, they should just, you know, let you do the big gospel doctrine. You'd have a room of like 500 people. I keep telling Lindsay Hansen Park she has to teach a class at the U on polygamy, because wouldn't every single one of us sign up to go and like, yes? And we would probably all get an A because it would be so interesting, right? I do think you're right about, it was how I felt about myself, is that I realized that the world was not what I thought it had been. And I needed to put all the pieces together and redraw and figure out, you know, what was going on and what the real history was. And I do. I see that over and over. The other thing that I think that we have that's really interesting within the Reddit community, you know, it's funny. How many of you guys, anybody here, a lot of people thought that I was a guy and Mithrin was a girl.
I get like that comment
almost
all the
everybody,
time.
Yeah, and everybody's always like, I was so sure you were a man. You think like a guy. And Mithrin's name, I guess, I don't know.
I'm just fabulous. That's all it is.
But that's the thing. Like, it's anonymous, and so you don't know who's in that room, but there are young people. I love the seminary kids when they come in and they talk about what happened in seminary this morning, and they're chatting with some, you know, oh, what's Zadok the priest, 78, right? Never confess. You know, and they're like having some great old chat, and you remember the kid who came on last week, and he's like, how do you smoke? And every single person, like the top comment is, the church is not wrong about everything. He's like, what do you mean? No, just don't smoke. Really? Why not? And you suddenly have like, you know, 50 people posting on there, cancer, dude. But you have these really wonderful conversations from people who are from completely different age groups. We have the Community of Christ people in there sometimes. And we even get, like, I've been hanging with the Jehovah's Witnesses, ex-J-Dub Mons. They are so funny. They have one that's just like Hasbro Kim, but she's a woman. You should see those two go at each other. It's like crazy pranking. But it's neat to see that you have all these really, really different people in the room. And we get to have these conversations. I think one that we have all the time is about women and men, because we were raised that the girls are in young women's and like activity days or achievement days or whatever we used to call that. And we leave society and the guys are over here and we don't really talk. And once you get married, you can't talk to anybody who isn't your spouse. And we have joint Facebook, apparently, you know, stuff like that. And we all have to go back and relearn, hey, is it okay if we talk to each other? And we, you know, women and men, well, would it be okay if I said this to my wife? And a bunch of women are like, well, no, you should do this. Yeah, you know, we're constantly relearning social norms and learning from each other's perspectives. And it's not something you would go ask your neighbor's husband, right? Like, if Mithrin's my neighbor, I wouldn't be going up to him, if I say this to my husband, would that be okay? But I can do it anonymously in the chat room. Right.
Yeah. And we see this with the anonymous, going back to the theme that we were given, that you can go in and you can ask these sorts of questions about, you know, I need the guidance. But with the growth that we experience, we have a constant influx of recently no longer believing members who still have all the misogyny that the church handed them, and sometimes the racism and sometimes the anti-gay feelings.
Yep.
And over again, we have to have the conversation, like, how close to the border do we let this conversation happen? How do you – because we're basically glorified hall monitors, you know. Please walk. Great. Yes. Don't yell at the person. And trying to keep the conversation lively. We love good conversation. We try not to do any sort of moderation. We're very hands-off as far as subs go, to the point that subs that claim to be less hands-on tend to ban more.
Oh, are you talking about the uncensored thing where they implemented more rules than us?
Yeah. There's
it's because we have normally good pools. We just want everybody to get along and play nice in the sandbox. That's all.
But at the same time, you get comments that you just, you're like, oh my gosh, this poor guy does not even realize what all the women are thinking right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot, one thing that I think for all of you who are Redditors, if you've been on for maybe a year or so, have you guys noticed, like it used to be when I joined and there were 40 people on there, it was like this little quiet room and we could have like a quiet conversation and nothing would come out of it. And now it's like you're on there, there's 1,000 people listening to anything you have to say at any one time, right? It probably is more now that they put up the other stats.
I posted this stupid picture this last week. It was Jesus and he's sitting there with the children around him, and the microphone goes out, and it was about, you know, I love you unconditionally except for if you don't obey me and then I send you to eternal torment, right? And it hit our all, which is the, for those of who are not Redditors, it's the big category where everything ends up. And suddenly there were 3,000 upvotes and people coming in who were diehard Christians telling me that I didn't understand theology, as well as a whole slew of believing members telling me that I didn't understand Mormon theology and that I should go check my sources. And every time a Mormon tells me I need to check my sources, them's fighting words. But it used to be if I posted a picture like that, and I try to stay away from pictures, but this one tickled my funny bone because of a recent occurrence. You know, I'd get like 50 upvotes, and no one cared. We'd have a little bit of a conversation, haha. And here I am with 3,000. I mean, great, 3,000 karma. Give me that. Keep me hitting that karma crack pipe. But
how much karma does he have? Anybody
knows? So there are badges. There are badges of either shame or accomplishment on Reddit, which they don't tell you. There are two. One is the top 1% club. I am in it. If you spend so much time on Reddit, more than the rest of the population, you're 99 percentile, and you get more karma than 99% of Reddit, you get the badge of shame that you have no life. There is a second one called the 100,000 Club. If you have 100,000 comment karma or upvote karma, then you're there. I have not hit it just yet, but there you go. I one day, if I just keep posting, we'll hit it. But then I keep having the TBMs that vote me down. So two steps forward, one step back. Do we want to talk about the successes and then open up for questions? I think that's...
I want to talk about the Tapir group. I promised that I would talk about them. And I bet you guys... There are some stories that I think are the reason why I'm still a mod on Reddit, to be honest. I keep saying to myself, I should move on and do some other kind of volunteering. But, you know, something in real life, because my kids are like, why are you always on your phone? What's going on with that? Like, are you having an affair, Mom? That was actually a question. Now they asked me, they're like, because you're always like, you know, kind of off on your phone. Now my younger daughter, I finally confessed. I don't know if you guys remember, there's one guy who was interviewed by John Dillon. He was a return missionary and he posted a song. His name is Cebu, C-A, I think. He posted a song and he kind of dedicated it to me because when he was in the middle of his faith crisis and having a really hard time, he posted online. He was like, I just need to talk to somebody face to face. I really need to. And I was like, oh, he's like 20 minutes from me. He does not want to meet with some old lady. He's a 23-year-old guy, but nobody else answered. So I was like, okay, meet me at the Starbucks. and we met up and we had a long talk and I think it helped him feel better. And so then later he came back and did that. This is when I confessed to my daughter, oh yes, I actually read it and see this guy dedicated a song to me. You want to hear it? And she was like, you know what social media is? I was like, yeah. And oh, and by the way, can you help me find this girl? Because I'm really, really worried about her. One thing that happened for me a couple of years ago is when you would have people post those suicidal thoughts, I would go, you know, I think everybody who is on Reddit knows that if somebody posts that they're really distressed, they're getting divorced, they're feeling suicidal, maybe they just had a huge fight with their mom or something, they immediately will get a huge slew of supportive comments from and understanding and helpful comments, often from people who've been through the exact same thing. And it's just a beautiful thing to see. I know Ryan, Fearless Fixer, is kind of known for Mormon leaks and for being, I guess, a little bit of a rebel edge kind of guy. But he actually, I think, started with Mormon leaks because he has this huge soft heart. And I have worked with him on so many cases of people who are suicidal. And he will, like, immediately send them a private message. Here's my phone number. Call me. And a lot of times, like, the first time I think Ryan and I ever worked on was one of the experiences I had that really made me feel good about this entire community. This woman posted online and she said, I can't stop these thoughts from coming. I'm with my 14-year-old daughter. I don't want to kill myself and leave that on her, but I can't stop planning this. I need help. And so I immediately posted it and I sent her a private message. I was like, just tell me where you are. I'm going to find you some people. I'm going to find someone who's by you to live with, you know, to come and be with you, but contact me. And Ryan also sent her a private message that said, you know, basically, here's my phone number, call me. And I ended up messaging John DeLynn, and he said, you need to go find this group of people. They're called Damn It in, can you believe that name? Damn It, Dallas Area Mormons in Transition. So cool. Is that not like the best one ever? And I contacted them, and I also like just went through Reddit posts looking for people in Dallas. I found a couple of women who seemed like they were just super empathetic and compassionate. And I messaged them and I said, hey, could you ladies help me right now? And the funny thing is that night, the woman who went through the list of, she must have gotten like 50 private messages from people saying, here, I'm willing to help you. I'm willing to help you. She answered me and she looked and she was like, I'm going to call the troll, because Ryan was really famous for some of his trolling episodes. And so she called him and he talked to her for a couple of hours while I'm like, you know, frantically going around trying to find somebody else. And within a couple of hours, she had the entire Damn It ex-Mormon group. Like, we're going to just pull off an immediately unplanned activity. We'll all be going to the movies with this lady and her daughter. And they showed up at her apartment like 3 hours later after she got off the phone with Ryan, and they took them to the movies and they like took them out to dinner. And then she chatted with Ryan for like half the night. And the next day, like, they spent the whole weekend with her and her daughter. And I like found her somebody who would give her like medication and an ER online. And she made it through the weekend and had a whole bunch of new friends and is with us today because she reached out to our group and got huge support in real life from people in her area and also from people she met online. And it was just amazing to me. And when Ryan started Mormon Leaks, part of why he started it is because we woke up one morning and there's like all these documents being posted like one after the other. And we couldn't even keep up with it. There's what, eight of us, and we freaked out, right?
I rolled out of bed, and I have a message from a friend that says, the subreddit's on fire. You're asleep. Get up.
It was crazy. And the thing is that we didn't want to leave anything. We want to protect real-life people, even if they're not Redditors, right? So anytime one of those documents had somebody's phone number, name, address, work email kind of thing, we wanted it pulled down and those things blacked out. And then, you know, you can post that, but we're not opening the door to, you know, witch hunts off of the internet for anybody at any time. We don't let any, people think we protected John DeLynn, I think, but it doesn't matter who you are. General authority, we had somebody wanting to post some malicious stuff about him being involved in child molesting. And we're like, you cannot be putting his name up. You can say, hey, my kid's grandpa was involved in some stuff with the kids, but you cannot be posting a person's name and some stuff about them without actual, like, a newspaper article or something. We won't allow it. But anyway, Ryan stepped into the void here because we realized this guy had lost his job, been thrown out of his house, was pretty much penniless, completely mentally on the edge. Yeah. And Ryan stepped in and said, hey, let me get you a hotel. Let me get you money for food. and I'm going to help you go through these documents, and we're going to black stuff out, and then the Reddit mods will let you post it.
In 2012, I got doxxed. For those of you who don't know what that is, you can Wikipedia it, but it is to have your private name, your anonymous identity found out and then publicized. The series of events was that I showed up at work one day and someone had put together who I was in real life, and that's why I can come out, I guess, and be as public as I am. They sent 400 emails to my place of business saying, "Are you sure you want this person working for you?" The one that landed out of all 400 was board of directors at companyname.com. So it became a formal review. The CEO, the president of the company, the co-president of the company, which may reveal which company it was, and the board of directors, my boss, his boss, and the VP of marketing all got circled in to talk about whether or not I was a good employee. And it was a pretty easy thing to prove. I pulled up, you know, the previous review where I was the top of the team. I pulled up the one before that and the one before that. And at some point they have to say, like, yeah, no, you do something here anyway. You're not just a Reddit addict. So I do have another side of life. But it was a very unpleasant experience. And if you've ever can imagine, if you have a very faithful spouse having to go home and say, I may get fired over my Reddit posts. It's a heart-stopping thing, and I don't want anyone on either side of the aisle – I don't know if there's an aisle – but on anywhere on the spectrum to have to go through that. So even if it's a general authority or whatever, we try – there's a level of fame where, like, people just know who you are. John DeLynn kind of fits in that, so people can use his name. He's also on there, so he can defend himself. But we try to protect people's identities because I went through it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, I did tell the top peer group that I would give them a plug because Ryan got really busy with WikiLeaks, and Into the Void stepped Hiking 1950, who had just been through his own crisis, and T the Initial, who is like, you know what, I think he might be better than you, Mithrin. Not necessarily at history. He's not like the encyclopedia that you are. But like, okay, there was this person who was very suicidal, and I knew that his mother had stepped in and saved him in the past. And I was like, I got to call his mom because there were all these people who had actually did the same thing as Dallas. He posted and said, you know, I'm really going to kill myself. And within 2 hours, somebody local was taking him to dinner. And he had a whole crew of people who were hanging out with him every day. And they were all, like, calling me and going, you know, we got to do something. Even Ryan, he was working with him, too. And they were all like, we got to do something. So I said, but I can't find his mom's contact information. T, 15 minutes later, here's her email. I mean, like, seriously. And we don't usually ever dox people. I would normally never, ever contact someone in real life. But this was a really special case because this guy had attempted several times. And the people who were spending time with him every day were freaked out.
Yeah, one of the Exmo mod secrets. Do you want a secret? Shh. He stays in this room and anyone that gets the recording. Is that whenever we have someone who says they are suicidal, if they are on the edge of believing, we will work with the LDS subreddit mods to find their local bishop, and we will send church help.
Did we do that?
Better than nothing. We've done that. I've done that 3 times. So
I just remember the time that like somebody on the LDS subreddit was suicidal, and they actually their mods contacted us because it was like 1 a.m. and they're like, there's nobody on for us.
Yeah, they were on.
Can you send
side.
Some people over? So we posted, we're like, we're breaking all the rules. Now we're letting you link over to the Faithful subreddit and you're invited to Brigade. They have invited us over there. And like, because what happens when somebody is really distraught is that 50 people will post and one person is the one who speaks in a voice that reaches that person. And you never know who it's going to be. It might be, you know, me or Mithrin, but it's, I don't know if you guys read the post between Gramps and Topher from last week. It was some kid who was 20, in his 20s, I think, and saying he was very suicidal, and he put up one of those posts, and some old gay guy from San Francisco who is not the kind of person he would ever have interacted in real life just spoke to him across the internet, and they have become best friends. And to be honest, both of them are really involved with the Tapir group. and our, you know, now that's the interesting thing. I think that the theme for Sunstone was the least of these and trying to help others. But that kind of like bothered me a little bit, because when you see people like Topher or some of the other, there's a group, like I can think of at least five or six from the last few months who went through a really hard time and made it through that. And after a month, they're the ones who are posting back, right? And when you're in that hard place, if you have somebody saying, hey, I was here 6 weeks ago, call me because I can talk to you about this. It's more helpful there. It's really cool to see. But in that particular case, I think, yeah, I just thought the faithful ones found his bishop. Somebody, like all these people were pouring back through his posts and trying to locate where he lived, and they had his bishop meeting with him at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, it's happened a few times way back in the past as well, back when we were smaller. So we are at time for Q&A. I want to run through a couple of our successes as a subreddit really fast, but I can see the AMA light in the Redditor's eyes. This is the chance to ask questions. So a couple of things where I think the subreddit made the huge difference. We've talked about Mormon leaks already. That wouldn't have existed without the documents nightmare day. LDS philanthropy, that was, I get that credit. I found that video and was like, what is this? Where they were encouraging people to donate all of their children's money if they left the church, and got that video pulled down. The BYU rape support system overhaul.
I actually think that's the one that we should be the happiest about, because, I don't know, for those of you guys who don't know, some girl from BYU had been to a meeting at BYU, and she just posts online, hey, I went to this meeting, and did you know what happens at BYU if you're raped? And she had met but the girl who was involved, and introduced her to Reddit and said, hey, you should post too. And so the two of them like post this online, and everybody's, this is horrific. We got to do something about this. And a lot of other women, because it's a private forum, start posting, I had that experience at BYU. This was me 7 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago. And somebody in the group's like, I know a reporter who really wants to cover this. How about you guys privately PM me, because you know who I am, and I'll arrange for this reporter to talk to you. And that's how it ended up blowing up all over the media, all over Utah, but it started with us, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing for not entirely, because I think John Dillon gets some credit for when it became public, the policy for gay families from November 2015. And a lot of the protests around that.
A lot of the investigation into the manuals and what it said and the timing of the changes, I think, came from Reddit, though, that fed John Dillon. So he made kind of the initial, but then, you know, we put on our hats and we drill. And we have to say Ponderize. Ponderize is a Reddit original. It was posted 12 minutes after he said the word Ponderize. It hits Reddit first. And then the T-shirts and all of that at BYU come out before he had finished the talk. He had been busted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Quit Mormon, we have to give a shout out to the subreddit there. Yes, Chubb started doing his thing, but I think that it would not be the force to be reckoned with it is today without just us pumping people constantly to it with the sidebar link and everyone saying, oh, it's really easy to get out. Quick fun story, and then we should do Q&A. When I went to my apartment that I'm currently renting, as I was signing the paperwork, two people came in and tried to reactivate the woman at the apartment thing. They were elderly missionaries. And when they walked out, I said, do you know what Quit Mormon is? She's out.
Yeah, actually, the other cool thing about Quit Mormon is right after that November policy came out, there were so many people who felt that they immediately needed to resign. And Chubbs was like, you know, he thought he was going to be lucky to do 100 people in a year, and he was like, you know, suddenly faced with 3,000 applications piled up. And Iron Techs and a bunch of other lawyers who publish on the sub all like, you know, they were like, okay, we're all going to just jump in and help you out, bud. Here we go. And they pitched in to help him out and got him through that huge flow. And then somebody else from the sub pitched in and set it up so that it's almost pretty much you fill in the chart and it makes a form letter and he doesn't have to do very much. And that was just some volunteer who was like computer savvy, who could set stuff up like I can't. It's very cool. Yeah, okay, well, I can't do that. I just am like the person who says nice things. I don't really do the tech stuff. That's a confession. Okay, Q&A. Anybody have a burning question?
There's a subreddit
you don't have your own question,
apparently. There is. There was only like a couple questions, so we covered most of them.
Did we? Okay, maybe.
Sure. I looked at the questions before I came this
morning. Just read the top question that got the most upvotes verbatim.
Okay.
This is from Tuna Surprise on Reddit.
Oh, no!
Question is this just a big circle jerk? But seriously, is there any value to the argument that people who leave the echo chamber of Mormonism are just exchanging it for a different echo chamber?
What do you guys think?
The rest of you.
All arise.
Raise your hand if you think the answer is yes.
The symbol for the circle jerk is made by putting one hand in front of you, the other one held together. We wish all to receive it. That will do.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, well, you know, whoever made that comment also said we want it on video. And I was like, but I'm a nice little old lady, and I don't know how to do that stuff. So at least he let me out of it, right? Mithrin handled it without me. Thank heavens.
I mean, we have echo chamber moments. And there are times when we've had to step in on the echo chamber and say, like, you know, it keeps going around and around. How do I say this? There's a quote from the Joker in Batman, The Rise, I don't know, the one with Heath Ledger, where he's going to give the town a better class of criminal. And I've always tried to give this town a better class of ex-Mormon, where we don't just go around on the same things over and over again, but we can move forward. People can do the happy trails sort of thing where they do eventually leave, that we can put resolution. But with the constant inpouring of new people, there is this just nature of, by the way, did you know about Fanny Alger?
Every week there's people who didn't know, right?
Right. And so the Death Canes, which is my favorite of all topics. If you want to go see them, I'm going to lead another tour up here to the Utah Daughters of Pioneers Museum, and we can actually see the braided hair of Joseph Smith and Hiram. Every year and a half, I make that post and I get another 1,000 upvotes because that many people, once again, have not heard that these things exist.
And I was going to say, I actually have lately been trying really hard to kind of be the voice of dissent almost. Because you do go through that ranting, raving, angry stage, and I think we build a ex-Mormon culture that's... what was it like? I don't post there anymore, but exmormon.org and the lady who was like, when the missionaries come, you squirt them with a hose. You know, but here's the thing. I got nieces, nephews, and cousins out on missions. You know what? My hobby now is dropping off entertaining care packages, squirt guns, Brussels sprouts, you know, weird crap. I mean, I love to support the Mormon family and friends that I have in my life. And I like to hope that as we move through the healing process, all of us, that we come to a place that we feel positive and we can participate in a happy way in those communities where through the grief and the heartache and the reprocessing and can be happy and good contributing members.
I've got kind of a question and a comment. So people who know me, I'm a really big loudmouth. So once I found out about all this stuff on ex-Mormon, I went on Facebook and I just started blasting the church on Facebook because that's just who I am. But so I guess because of that, 10 people in my life have left the church now. And sorry,
oh, wow,
to get emotional.
I see why you're crying. That's a lot.
It's been a journey for sure. But I guess my question is, do you think there's value in being public with your ex-Mormonism as well as the anonymity with Reddit?
Wow. I think absolutely. And I think everybody has to find their own path. And you can't tell anybody what's right or what's wrong in this situation. We were all either converted into this culture or born and raised with it. And when we come to recognize that there's things like Fanny Alger, that I think it's pronounced Auger because I listened to your polygamy and I heard the guest who was from the family. So it's Fanny Auger. When you learn about that, you have to process it. And I don't think there should be a wrong way to process it. I don't think there should be a wrong way to interact. As long as you're interacting with love, right? I wouldn't want to cut anybody out of my life because they think or believe differently than I do. And I just, you know, it doesn't matter if you're
a Scientologist or a Buddhist or a Mormon, or you belong to one of the polygamous sects, you're a great person. Probably there are wonderful things I'm gonna like about you. So however you do it. But I do think, yeah, in some ways it would be, you're brave. Good for you.
I lost a lot of family from it, but
you gained some too, right?
Yeah.
Been there too. Just, yeah, there comes a point where you have to be you. And that authenticity is going to cost people who don't want to be authentic. And there's this meme, trope, whatever, that goes out on Facebook of, you know, people will see you for who you really are, and the ones that will stand by you are your true friends. Turns out there's not a lot of those. Yeah.
She had a question.
Except for Chelsea. I mean, sorry. Shake it a couple of times is what I've learned.
It's
18,000 uniques a day.
Actually,
average.
Here's the thing. Until like yesterday or the day before, Reddit did not count anything on a mobile. They were only counting that desktops, and they did change it to where like 2 days ago they started counting mobile, and that's where I'm counting. We're almost at 1 million uniques this month for July, but I think we can thank Bikini Girl for some of that. I don't know. She got like 11,275 upvotes, but then she pulled her post because she was getting a lot of, like, when you go to RL, once it hits RL, then a bunch of weird people will post, you know, etchy stuff. How do we say that in English? Like, slimy. And you know, you also get, like, a lot of gay haters that come on that we have to, like, erase all their comments. But they still don't count Reddit as fun or any of the other apps if you're accessing through an app. They're not included in that million. So it's a lot. I think 675 for last month, 675,000 unique. Yeah. Well, I read it yesterday because I was just kind of intrigued at how it works out.
I wrote it down when we got this assignment. So mine's old.
Yeah.
So
the selfie week. Oh, heck. How many conversations do we have of selfies? We had one today. Today we were second. Do we still allow selfies? Do we need to tag these differently? So I'm the holdout. I'm the reason that there are still selfies on there. And that is that I did a lot of body image work with people for a good period. We had about 5 years where I was working day in and day out. Not really as a therapist, but just I kind of dragged into it like everything else in my life. And there's something freeing about being able to show what was forbidden before, and shoulders are pretty darn harmless. This one, I'll give you just, geez. The really quick is that everyone hates their feet. It's just true. I never met anyone in that entire time period that did not hate their own feet. And posting pictures of your own feet or sharing pictures of your feet or describing your feet to someone else is incredibly difficult. People will go to sexual bits way easier than they will go to feet. And so we have this moment where people can kind of show this liberation with their shoulders. It's pretty harmless, but it does take up a lot of like bandwidth on the front page because everyone upvotes it, which I'm still trying to figure out. There was a meme back in 2013, I think, where I made this famous pronouncement. I said, there are no porn sites for shoulders, so it cannot be porn to show your shoulders. And I think I'm responsible on both ends. Blame me.
Yeah.
We have one more question right here.
Well, I just want to say thank you very much. You helped us when we were in a really hard spot. I am How Did We Not See?
Oh, my gosh. I love her. I send her people, too. You know what? You guys can go look at our conversations. We've had a lot. But she's also gone on to help other people who went through the same thing. I sent her, you know, some people who were at the same stage, missionary out, going through a faith crisis, how do I communicate with my child and retain those relationships and build them? And she was really awesome. Oh, it's so cool. I have to give you a hug as soon as it's over.
Yes. But you made that relationship still possible.
Oh, you know what? And I loved your Mormon Stories interview. That was so sweet. Yeah, we wanted to end actually with the selfies because that was like a huge shift for a sub that had been we're private, we're quiet, we're whispering in the room, you know, the things that we can't say in gospel doctrine class. Or for me, it's like, well, wow, there's a Mormon that I can talk to about this stuff that I'm feeling because nobody in my world is. We got it from the J-Dubs. They started posting it. And then all of a sudden, back in January, we must have had like 1,000 people suddenly no longer afraid to show their faces and like, yeah, coming out of the closet and just being who they are and brave and proud and strong and living authentically however they want, right? I think somebody was one of the top posts last week was people commenting, wow, the tone of the sub has really changed. It used to be a lot of people who were still in hiding in their life, and now we have a huge group of people who are very confident and showing their shoulders. I actually looked for one of those cold shoulder chops, but I couldn't find one. But I'm very sensitive about my arm fat, not my shoulders. I couldn't find one that worked. But it is really wonderful to like see you guys here today and to feel that we're all an open community and that we can just accept and help each other, right?
I got found out when we had a post pictures of yourself thread back in 2009. I posted my picture and below it was hi and my actual name, and I was terrified. And I thought, who would do this? His name is No Cool Name Tom. And I was like, oh, I know exactly who this is. And if you know him, he does the Sunday school video threads, and he does the gospel doctrine. There is a little bit of a threat with it, and we always are trying to keep. So if you see them vanish, it's because someone recognized someone, and we pull it down quickly. But it is very empowering. I don't know. Thank you for all coming out, and you're welcome.